Hello everyone, my name is Jen Torres and I am a God, and so are you. Like many of you, I was raised to believe that if I just prayed hard enough, God would save me. As it turns out, that was actually true. I saved me. At the age of 15, I became pregnant with a beautiful baby girl who dropped in just in time to save my miserable life. This was my first awakening. This podcast is about all of the words and listening to those words to begin to envision what is possible. Because sometimes, as individuals, we feel we need to know everything, have it all together, and be everything all of the time. But that's why we live in a world filled with other people. Each person holds a piece of the puzzle. It's about being open to new information, new ideas, and new perspectives. We're going to talk about all of the topics surrounding what it takes for you to step into your God-Goddess journey with me as we uncover all things living self-actualized and in your inherent divine God state. This podcast is about doing whatever it takes to develop and nourish the God in you. Super excited for today's episode as I am introducing a brand new guest, Andrew Colombini, who is a life and wellness coach. And I recently met him. We're going to get into all of the details, but he is also the host of the Personality Code series. And this is basically an awesome series where it's like an all-in-one thing. You can experience experts, doctors, influencers in the realms of psychology, biology, Myers-Briggs, Enneagrams, astrology, numerology, human design, like name it. And he's got these people on his show. So I really want to bring him on just to discuss a little bit of his own personal genius called the Personality Code and how he brings all these things together to really help people understand themselves on a deeper level. So without further ado, let's jump right in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the She's a God podcast. As you have already heard in the intro to this episode, I introduced our next guest, Andrew Colombini, who is an amazing life and wellness coach who I met recently and kind of blew my mind with a couple of sessions. And I felt really inspired to bring him on and have him come on and just like share his genius with everyone on the show. So, Andrew, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate being here. Excited.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I love what Andrew does because it is in the realm of understanding us, right? Our individual selves on a deeper level in order to uncover more of who we are and fully step into what we're here to do, be, and all of that greatness. And it kind of does remind me of human design, a little bit of what Andrew does, and he's going to get into it, because it does have that lens of just like, okay, but who are we really? And when we get to those layers, then we can start to really uncover why we're here, why we act the way we act, why we do the things we do. And so that is why what Andrew does with his business, Amplify My Why, is super interesting with getting down to these deeper layers of why we show up the way that we do. So first and foremost, Andrew, thank you so much again for being here. And can you just share a little bit about your background and your upbringing and how you got to doing what you do now?
I mean, I can get like right into like the unconscious reasons why is I, as a melancholic biotype, which I'll go into a little bit later, naturally an analyzer, naturally a questioner, researcher, etc., I discovered that I was different and weird and wasn't able to really communicate like other people. So I watched people able to spark up a conversation with whoever they want, and it seemed like a breeze. Now, but then I'm over here thinking about what to say. And I noticed I was different, but I got into psychology. I picked it up in high school, and I started to realize that we can like learn these unconscious cues. Like I could basically learn to do anything that I want, essentially. And that kind of sparked it. I also got into sales early, which taught a lot about psychology. Again, I had this honest unconscious trauma of feeling like I'm different not good enough, need to prove my worth, which we can get into that later as well. Sales led me into music. Music led me into, I mean, it's hard to say because like there's a flow of life and it just happened. Like that's actually what I teach is there's a flow and it's important to know who you are and how to get into it. Cause it's really hard to predict where we're going to go, but it's easy to see where we ought to be and ought not. But yeah, I got into my flow, came across, let's see, the doshas a long time ago. I'm like, oh, weird. You can like, you know, look at someone's biology. And I also worked out a lot. So there was ectomorph, mesomorph, and endomorph, which are like the three body types. But it wasn't until a ex-girlfriend of mine introduced me to biotypes, in which I took the course, the first one, and or at least she wanted me to do the first one. And I was very blown away that I could look at someone's face, knee joints, vascularity, arm length, etc., and be able to have a really good idea of how this person thinks, operates, and almost can predict them in a weird, strange way. And so that was really fascinating to me. I'm not sure why I got into coaching. I just think I was a natural knack. That's why I do this coaching. I actually work for the company as well, rgpdevelopment.com, which Rodrigo Garcia Platas is a man who's put together biotypes, which is actually Unani medicine, ancient Islamic medicine mixed with Greek Arab temperaments, overlaid with family systems therapy, which is Bert Hellinger's work, and then also psychomagical acts of healing, which is Alejandro Jodorowsky's work as well. So there's a like, it's just like human design. There's like a couple things coming together to create this product. And I got a biotype. I've been studying with them for nearly 4 years. I'm one of their coaches on their team as well. And I also currently overlay systems. I also have a show called The Personality Code where I interview many different people in DISC, Myers-Briggs, Enneagram, astrology, sidereal astrology, all the different things to find the golden thread.
So straight away, I know people are like, wow, like that sounds like a lot of different things. Like what exactly is this? And if you are somebody who has a one line in your profile, you're definitely already Googling like what exactly are biotypes and how does that relate to real life and trying to get all the questions answered. So I guess let's start there. Andrew is with, you said that the name of the business is RGP Development. Okay, so that I love that your explanation of biotypes and how essentially it is similar to human design in that it basically takes a bunch of other ancient modalities, things that have been around for quite some time, and it all comes together to give you what's called biotypes. Okay. So like, that's really what we're getting into here to kind of like start to pull this apart and understand what exactly are biotypes, how can they help you in your life, and why does it matter? So would you be able to maybe share with us how biotypes helped you in your life?
First and foremost, personally, it helped me with compassion in many areas. Because I have an unconscious belief, which we all do, and that's more of a psychological sense, but I have a belief that I need to prove myself and nothing that I do is ever good enough. And so I was always being a different biotype, acting like a different biotype and rejecting my biotype, which is essentially it. And in shamanism, it's all about bringing the pieces back together. And if I reject, neglect, disown, etc., then I'm stuck in a sickness. And because I was biotypes, you're 70% of biology. It's who you are. You can't change it. Everyone, there's four biotypes. Everyone has it. I have about like an 80% accuracy of reading people. And Harvard has a study of like, it's a 93%. Like this is legit stuff too. They actually did research on it. But as a melancholic, I'm an analyzer and I seek certainty. And so I judge that by myself. I judge myself for being a thinker. Right? Everyone's like, get out of your head into your heart. Yeah, but I'm a thinker. So I was kind of rejecting myself. We're also the weird ones. Think about the scientists, the nerds, the geeks, the doctors, the wizards. What image do you have in your mind? Someone who's tall, lengthy, and skinny, right? It's actually embedded into us. The Greeks realized, this is back in the day, that people who looked the same acted the same. It's kind of where it came from. But before we started mixing all over the world, and we have mixed biotypes too. Like you're one primary, you wouldn't have a subdominant. That's another discussion. But compassion, to answer your question, compassion. And I was able to love myself and appreciate myself and know my actual gifts and what I'm not and stop doing that. Like I know what I'm not. Like as much as I want it, like when I was working out, I wanted to be like a sanguine, which is the opposite. They're like the rugby person build where they're very thick and strong and built. Look like a Dwayne Rock, the Johnson. Okay. The Johnson. It's the Rock, but we'll go with the Johnson. He, that sounds weird, but he's really strong, thick, right? And Joe Rogan's another one. I wanted that body, but my body doesn't matter how much I eat or whatever. I'll never look like that. So to answer your question, it was compassion for myself. And also to understand people too. Every person is a different biotype. I can't expect to talk to another biotype like I want to be talked to. I'm not going to sacrifice my authentic self, but it's like speaking a dialect, right? If I speak Spanish, I think it's important for me to learn the dialect of that person. I think it's responsible and appropriate. And so that way there I can have, you know, good relation with someone, you know, knowing and having compassion for their biotype as well.
Yes, I love this because that's how human design is. It's like right at the end there, you said what it helped you to do is, yes, open up a lot of compassion in your life, but it helped you to understand how other people are different, right? And human design is also called the science of differentiation. So it's like understanding how people are different. And then once you have that understanding, it does give you compassion because it's like, oh, like I expect this person to act like me, but actually we're all different people and we're here to understand and absorb that from each other. So I also wonder, what are, in maybe just like a brief way, are the different biotypes? Are there like 1,000 or are there a few?
Luckily, there's not 1,000, which is cool and kind of weird because there's 4 and they fit on like a compass. Imagine a compass. Okay, you get northeast, southwest. Each biotype has a position. So north would be cholerics. They have a V-shaped face, reddish complexion, tend to be V body type anyway. So think of like a Brad Pitt, Jason Statham, like a Viking, okay? Very intense. So they value results. They value results and they hide in fear, or excuse me, hide in anger, okay? So that's the choleric. They're a hot and dry biotype. They're going to want to live in cold and moist places, which you'll find them. Before we started mixing around the world, you would find them. Like my dad is a choleric and where I'm from is northern Italy, and that's a cold and moist place. So you're going to find a lot of cholerics there. Also in Russia, think of Russians and Germans, okay? Then think of north. Now you have east, which is going to be sanguine. Now, sanguines are like the rugby build. They're like the Joe Rogan. They're like Venus. Also, that gymnast, I can't remember her name, very strong. They live in experience and they hide in excess. Okay, so you're going to see them with a bunch of cars or a bunch of gadgets or a bunch of things. They hide in excess. So that's when they're not self theme, I guess you could say, but when they're not being their true self or they're going too much. Okay. Then you have, and they're a hot and moist biotype. You're going to find a lot of sanguines in the desert, actually, believe it or not. In the Middle East, you're going to find a lot of sanguines and southern Italy, Spain, Portugal. Then you have south, which is who you are, a phlegmatic. Jen, you are a phlegmatic also, but you have a different thing to you, which we can get into if you want. But phlegmatics are cold and moist. They live in emotion and they value friendships, friends, family, and they hide in sadness. So deep depression and whatnot is where they try to avoid. Most of the world is, if you were to like see what biotypes the most are phlegmatic, you would find them in more like Southern America. Yeah, they're primarily found in Southern America. They're all over the world, but of course, Southern America and India as well. And they're cold and moist. Then you have melancholics, which is my biotype, which would be West. Yeah, never eat soggy waffles. I still do that. I still count on my hand, like 1, 2, 3, only like up to 10. But so melancholics, they live in intellect, they value certainty and hide in fear. We have a rectangle. Oh, I didn't go on. There's so much about it, but you can go onto the website to learn more. I'm just going to give you a brief synopsis, but there's 4 and we are cold and dry. So like when I was in Egypt, when it was in the desert, when it was cold, I almost died. Like I almost got sick. I actually did get sick. I got super sick because that's not my environment. I live in Miami where it's warm and moist. And it's like pristine for me. Now each biotype is, of course, north is next to east. And north is next to west. So the choleric on the top, it shares a commonality to the things side by side. And biotypes also share things across. That's more specific. That's like a whole, you can go to RGP Development. They have a course called Intro to Biotypes to learn that. But there's 4 biotypes. You have 1. You can't change it. It's 70% of who you are. It runs your life. You're going to make decisions because of it or perceive the world like that in certain ways. You're more susceptible to have certain traumas because of your biotype. I'm still figuring out how it connects to human design because it's not like all generators are sanguines. It's not that simple. But there are specific instances where a sanguine who has a lot of energy could be a projector who traditionally doesn't, versus a sanguine who has a lot of energy that's also a generator, which has a lot of energy. So it adds another layer to everything, but those are the four biotypes.
That's amazing. I just have to say straight away that when Andrew started talking to me, okay, I didn't understand the biotype thing. Like, I didn't understand that this is what I kind of knew, like, okay, his thing is like biotypes, he's a coach. Like, and so when we sat down and we're having this conversation, it didn't hit me that like he does this or he has this background knowledge. So when he first started talking to me and telling me about myself, I literally asked him if he was channeling. I was like, are you like channeling right now? Or what is this? Because I'm like, how do you know that? Like, I'm like, there's no way you know that. Like, that's so personal and like so weird. Like, and so I was so confused. And then I realized later, I'm like, oh, like there's this thing that you can like learn called biotypes, and you can like go on the website and you can take courses and you can understand just like what he was saying. You could actually look at someone's face and their body and kind of see they fall into these four types. And of course, I'm sure if you're thinking about human design has five types. So now you kind of see where we're going with this, where this is just more. This is just more information to help you better understand yourself. So yeah, I would love for you to, if you want to do like a little reading type of thing on me, and then that will give them like awareness of like how this kind of works.
When I first read someone, obviously, I'm looking at their face. Now, each biotype has a different facial structure. If you go on the sanguine melancholic, if you go on the east-west axis, those faces are going to be primarily square or rectangle. If you go on the north-south axis, they're primarily going to be V or heart shape. Okay. Now, I look at the eyes. Like, you have big eyes, right? And so that's a big indicator. I'm already like, okay, phlegmatics are the one who have the big eyes. Then I look at facial structure. So you have a long face, but it's more oval. So that tells me that either I have a melancholic or a phlegmatic biotype, because melancholics have a long rectangle face, but yours is like long and oval. Okay. You seem lean, and that's kind of where I go with that. I'm like, okay, so I have it in my mind now. Normally I'd have someone stand up and have them show me their hand and their palm. I'm looking to see if there's balance or imbalance in their palm. The north and south pole has an imbalance, and the east and west has a balance. So sanguines and melancholics are going to be balanced, and cholerics, phlegmatics, opposite. And then I'm going to see where the hands hang by the waist. And then I'm going to get my idea. Now, I've read so many people, and I'm also looking at your way of being too. So your composure, how you're composing yourself, how you're speaking, how expressive you are, how like controlled you are as well. What does the background in your video look like? And it's like this intuition of reading so many people and having gotten confirmations where it all comes together to help the read as well. So I mean, instantly, I kind of know your biotype right away, which is phlegmatic. Phlegmatics are very sweet, loving, heart-centered. They are caring. They want to help out. And you have that. Like, you're very sweet. You're very connected. You're very present. You want to help out. There is something overlaying that, though, that I'm noticing as well. And only like something would have happened in your childhood to have interfered with this purity, which is hard in this world we live in. It's a very masculine driven go, do, hustle, make it. And we praise that too much, in my opinion. It's praised too much. We forget about the balance. All areas get to be praised. So just from that, I realized, okay, well, you must have, what we'd say in biotype theory is you're a false fire. So a phlegmatic is a water biotype. Yes, you're cold and moist, but you're primarily water. Water's emotions and feeling, the depths. And so if I feel that, but there's a strength overpowering, I already think that you're a false fire. That means a biotype who phlegmatic who's acting like a fire biotype, which is cholerics, who are very intense, results oriented, get stuff done. So I know that you have that personality about you. And so that tells me growing up that you needed to be strong. There's something where you're either the oldest or you needed to take charge. It wasn't okay to be a child. Something happened to you, dramatic or traumatic, and you stopped trusting as much. And so what I would say for you is like, yes, you're sweet, loving, connected, authentic. That is who you are. You are compassionate, with a caveat. The caveat is only if people have jumped through hoops of fire to be able to get to your side, where you're like, okay, this person is cool. Otherwise, you're kind of just waiting to be right about people.
That's so spot on, though. I just have to say really quick that I also have, and I know we were talking earlier about human design and biotypes and how that comes together, but just right there is so spot on, because I have, I believe it's gate 38 in my Venus. So it's like this like friction like energy when it comes to love, and it's like, or connection. And it's like, I've always noticed that in my relationships, like even if we get along straight away, it's always that initial meeting where we're like, we feel like there's like this hesitancy, but then we're fine, you know. But it's always, so it's just interesting you said that.
And I'll say, it's so with false fires, one of the things we notice is relationships tend to be the most difficult thing, not necessarily businesses. In fact, they can build some massive, amazing, crazy businesses. When it comes to relationships and or health, that's when they can suffer the most from it. And it's this idea of control. So you love through control. That's how you learned growing up, is that's how you love, is through control, making sure people are okay and doing things and protecting them. The problem is that people, and if you have kids, your kids will think, just go away, like, stop, get out of my life. Like, and you're like, what are you talking about? Like, I did all this stuff for you. Like, can't you see? Like, can't you be grateful? And they're like, mom, or your friends are like, just get away, just stop. And you don't understand that, because how you survived growing up was to take control and to help and to support. And put the caveat, or the problem is, you don't always remember to take care of yourself. Now, you do set boundaries and you don't have a problem saying what you need to say, which can be hard for traditional phlegmatics, but there still is this, like, it's hard for you to ask for help, because it's A, not going to be the way that you want it, or something's going to be different about it. And you might as well just do it yourself. Or B, you don't want to be a burden. You don't want to put that on there. You'd rather just get it done. You can take care of yourself, right? And so that's hard, because especially in relationship with men, men need to be needed. Men need to be the protectors. And the problem I've seen, and I don't know this about you, but what I do know from my experience with false fires is, if they try to control too much in a relationship, they will push the man away, or they will train the man to be less masculine and may trigger traumas. It's super important for women that are false fired, really in general, to allow men to lead, to allow men to go, even if they feel like in their minds, like, he could be doing it better or whatnot. That's always really important. There's one more thing I wanted to say. Dropping your vulnerability and your sweetness is the key to your happiness. But the problem with that is, you spent your whole life strong and dominant and rejecting that because it wasn't safe. So to go back into that, it's like death. And I have a feeling, sorry to interrupt, but I have a feeling that your audience is primarily false fire. They love your strength. They love how you get things done. They love your reads. Like, you definitely are inspiring. And there's nothing, let me just be clear, there's nothing wrong with false fire, okay? But this is why understanding biotypes and all this stuff is important, is because there are certain things that aren't supporting you. There's prices you're paying for things that you're doing, which, instead of like rejecting all your false fire, it's just like, stop being doing certain things. But it's knowing what those things are. That's why I like all these systems, is it gives you a very clear answer.
So much of what you're saying, though, right there, it just keeps reminding me of human design. So I know before we got on this episode, Andrew was talking about how he's still trying to bring that together with the human design. But it's like what you were saying there about, you know, tending to overgive and not really making sure I'm taken care of. But then you get like, you don't want to ask. That's totally the 40 to 37, which is creator of the tribe. And like, the lowest expression is overgiving and kind of just ending up getting into your not self because you feel like you've been taken advantage of in some way. And then just you mentioned something too about just not afraid to speak your truth and like just say, though, at the same time, like, what you're thinking and what you're feeling. Like, I do have the 34 to 20, and 20 being like a truth teller type of vocal energy. And so I relate to that too. It's just so wild.
Yeah. So that's to go to your, I don't know if we said this on camera or off camera, but you had asked, well, there's so many systems, like, isn't it hard to just I just need to focus on one, which is true. 1,000%. Like, it is not easy, like, looking at all these systems. It creates a lot of confusion. Just like what you said, I just said something from biotype theory. Wait a second, I can see it in your chart. So now I can look at a false fire and then look at your chart, and I can get real quick, okay, what's going on here? Because my mission, what I've been trained in RGP development, is how can I get to the root cause with someone in 15 minutes or less? Like, that's what we're trained to do. That's the image that was up withheld. And so it takes a scalpel. And we've got to be we got to find something and go with it and keep going and going and going. Now, this is what's weird. This is a theory of mine. If someone could figure this out before, I'd love that. But I think it's difficult. In theory, if I can connect biotypes, win. Actually, is the truth. When I connect biotypes fully to human design, I can look at you and I can predict your birth date. And then with that, guess what? This whole pseudoscience thing, it's like, okay, give me 100 people in front of me right now. I'm gonna tell you their birth. I have no idea who these people are. I'm gonna prove to you that these systems work. Okay, give me 100 people. I'll predict their birth dates one by one by one by one by one. You tell me that's pseudoscience. Boom. Mic drop. There's no question about that. How could I predict that? It's because the systems tell the truth. But that's something in the future. But
holy smokes, we're uncovering so much, like, already, and I'm loving every single moment of this. So let's talk a little bit about the personality with biotypes. I read something like that. I think it was on your IG. Follow him on IG if you guys are listening to this. I love what you post and I love everything you're doing and creating. So yeah, please let me know. What is this with personality? How does that work in a biotypes?
So biotypes encompasses three systems. You have Unani Tib, Unani Medicine, which is the four temperaments. They renamed it and called it biotypes, but it's the four temperaments, technically. That's 70% of who you are. Then they overlay DISC personality, dominant, influencer, conscientious, sentimental. But they give it different names, controller, promoter, analyzer, supporter. So that's overlaid. 30% of who you are is your personality. Then they have family systems therapy, which that's a whole nother subject if you want to talk about. But that's where really all the work is done, is family systems therapy. Because technically biotypes is more of like a flash, like, oh my God, that's really cool. It's more important for health. Okay. In RGP, they don't talk about the health, but like for me, it's like certain warm and moist foods, generally speaking, I want to eat. I want to stay away from dry foods and dry climates, blah, blah, blah. But those like biotypes really helps get down to the family tree, family systemic therapy of like what loyalty do you have to your family? And I'd actually like to talk about that after this, but personality types, is like DISC, Myers-Briggs, Enneagram. You guys have probably heard this before. This is my personal opinion in theory, is it just doesn't have enough information to really give us the full picture. There's so many factors. There's no like real strategy. There's no forecast. It's just like reading. Here's the problem, is personality typing can get biotype mixed up. Because, for example, there's four personality types. You have controller, which are value or results based, or choleric, again, north. Then you have, again, the east, which is sanguine, or the promoter, the influencer. Then you have south, which is phlegmatic, or supporter. Or you have west, which is melancholic, or analyzer, or conscientious. Okay, so I have an analyzing biotype. You have a supporting biotype. I have a dominant control. Controller is like, it's not controlling, but that's just the name for it. Dominant's better. Dominant personality or a promoting personality. You also have a dominant personality. We also have an analyzing personality as well, by the way. I could tell you absorb information, right? That's also why you're in your human design, because you're also like, well, I can't trust anyone else but myself. There's got to be some way to read people. This is bullshit. So that's why you're here. That's another story. But so those are the personality types. 30% of who you are. You can change your personality. Okay. Tomorrow, if I want to be a promoter, I can be life of the party, really fun, outgoing. The other day, I could be like, you know, really loving and how are you doing? All this beautiful. Or I can be like really analytical and, you know, intrigued. I can change it, but I can't change my biotype. I'm always going to do it in an analyzing way. In a melancholic way. Yeah. Biotype, intro to biotypes course, I highly recommend. That gives you guys all the juice. I actually don't get an affiliate for that, believe it or not, but I only promote things that actually work. I'm like that. I would never recommend something that doesn't work. Like, I've realized my type is, I find things way early before it is popular, before like really it blows up. And so Yeah, but Uneni biotypes, RGP.
That has to be probably you finding things early on and also your genuine interest in things that are super unique, super next level and kind of ahead of the game, kind of speaks to your like genius freak channel that you have in your chart, right? So it's kind of like at that kind of energy too. That's what it feels like to be when you're talking and you're like saying all of these different things because yeah, we were talking about that, how every time I've spoken with Andrew, he's talking about something new and different that I've never heard about before. Every time I'm like, I almost feel like, oh my God, okay, wait, let me, because it's like the one side of me wants to like know everything about it, but then it's like also what, and then there's so many different things. So it's just cool that you're able to look at all of that. And he has this series, actually, this might be a kind of a good time to bring it up. I first found Andrew through a series he did online, which was so informational, so valuable. And it was just a series of speakers that came on just to kind of share their knowledge. So it's called The Personality Code. I think you're coming out with it again soon.
Yeah, I've turned it into an annual show that I'm going to be running every year. It's coming out in May. 28 speakers, experts, authors, doctors, Enneagram, human design, biotypes, morphology, doshas, psychology, chronotypes, blood type. I mean, you think any system, any type, typing thing, it's all thrown in there because it's all holistic. It all belongs in one. And I'm creating something called the Balanced Human Project, which is something that combines everything in one. And it's a project because it's on living. We're always going to be adding to it. It's a living document. But things are changing. And, you know, what we thought was true maybe isn't as true anymore or more true than we thought. And we're starting to get closer and closer to bridge the gap between science and spirituality because we can map it. It's just having the right, correct technology for that.
Super interesting. Yeah, thank you for that. So I'll be looking out for that for sure. But I do kind of want to shift back to what we were talking about with biotype and the different layers with personality. And you mentioned temperament into that. So how does, I feel like, I don't know if I missed it, but how does temperament like play a role in biotype? Is that just like one of the layers that adds to how you get to understanding the biotype?
Well, yeah, technically, so biotype is temperament and personality together.
Got it. Okay.
So like your humor, if you studied the four humors, which they kind of disprove, like you put blood into a test tube, it separates into four, but there actually are four biotypes and we've observed it and it's true. Although the blood theory was a little weird. Not the O and other type, but Galen's theory. But yeah, so there's four biotypes or temperaments and then there's four personalities and they overlay. And then, yeah. That's biotypes in a nutshell. With family systems therapy, which is really what the juice is. And that's where we find the traumas and the truth.
Can you speak more a little bit to that, if you don't mind, to the family system therapy?
I would love to, because I believe that is the truth of everything, of healing, period. So when we come into this world, well, let me first explain family systemic therapy. So psychology looks at the hand as like you. It's like, oh, well, you have a little cut here. That's because of this. Or like, let's observe the finger. Let's look at that. Well, family systems therapy is like, oh, there's a cut on, or there's a bruise on the hand. Let's look at the arm, the generation before. Or let's look at the spleen, five generations before. And so it's saying that we are actually connected energetically to our ancestors, which is ancestral healing. But just a different way of looking at it. This is shamanism, right? It's bringing the broken pieces back. When we are born, we're born into a narrative, the family tree narrative. And you have your generation, so your mom, your dad, brothers or sisters. Then you have the generation before, and it goes about five or six generations back that's active within you. And there's a narrative. Everyone has a different narrative. That's where the juice of my work comes in, is figuring out what's the narrative. So for example, let's say this woman, she has a daughter, the little tyrant who is doesn't listen to anyone, doesn't even listen to her mom. She's a problem in school and the mom doesn't know how to save her, help her out. So the daughter came in with living out somebody else's life. Because if you look deeper into it, you find that the mother, well, first off, this child was born like 2 months early. C-section in the incubator, which is terrible for a child. There's a lot of trauma there that, you know, gets to be resolved. I found out my dad was actually a incubator baby a couple of days ago, which is interesting. But it connects to me too, and I'm looking at that. So, anyways, I've come to find out the mom of the daughter, okay, the little tyrant, the mom had a sister who was disabled and died when she was 16, the disabled sister. And the dad at one point told the mom that it's your fault because you dropped her when you were young. And the mom took on that guilt, which is a terrible thing for the father to say. But it's hard because it's hard to say what's good, bad, right, or wrong. The dad did it in good conscience, at least he thought, just like Hitler did things in good conscience. It's hard to say what things are good, bad, right, or wrong. But the dad, if he admitted, first off, if someone's born disabled, someone needs to take the blame. Typically, someone has to take the blame for it. And if you blame the mom or the dad, guess what you're saying? You've got bad genes. And that could affect the beliefs of the children. They may have disabled children because of that belief. Because it's not, you get in life what you believe, not what you think, not what you research, not what you, no. Beliefs are unconscious. You have no idea what your beliefs are unless someone exposes them to them. Unless you somehow have studied it so much you can point it out. Your ego is too smart. Just forget about it. You need someone to point out your core beliefs. So this woman, her dad, you know, but put the blame on her. She took it on, even though the mom was like, no, don't take that on, honey. She took it on and she felt so guilty. Guess what? She continued to live out her loyalty because her child was born prematurely and she gave all of this energy to making sure that the child was okay and like was next to her bedside and made sure, you know, as a mom would, but she did it too much. And because she did it too much, her daughter, the little tyrant, turned into this problem child, or, you know, the little princess that's, you know, you guys know what I'm talking about. And so this mom was out living in guilt towards the family system. It was a loyalty she had. And so you would never know that, though. You would think that the mom like needs to stop giving so much. But if the mom stopped giving so much, it would be a disloyalty to her sister. So she was stuck in this loop. And it happened with me, too, in another instance. But that's like family systems therapy, is looking at what's the actual problem. For me, it was success. I could never create success. I had a loyalty to my mom of when my parents divorced. I was the emotional provider unconsciously. I had no idea, wasn't spoken of. And there's this unconscious agreement that I will never be too successful. I'll never leave you, mom. I'll always be the child. And my mom was like, I'll always pay for your stuff. I'll save you. And so I never learned how to grow up because of that. And my mom thought she was doing the right thing. And I thought, oh, I'm just accepting money. And it's not like I really needed it. But because I kept accepting that money, I always felt like nothing was really on the line. I couldn't really grow up. And plus, my mom also had a miscarriage, which I believe I was taking on the role of two children as well. I haven't confirmed that yet. But I believe that I was the child for both. So I never really grew up. So success and relationships was nearly impossible, even though I've studied all the books and whatnot, all the seminars. Once I healed with my mom and allowed my dad back in. That's another story, but allowing my dad, because I also, again, was a child. I didn't believe that I was a man. And because I wasn't a man, I never hung around strong men. I was always a little bit stronger than all the people around me. And if anyone was stronger, I'd try to fight them and prove my worth or avoid them. And I noticed this. And the reason why is because, if there's a guy in front of me or someone strong, it's like, yeah, there's no way I can let you in because like, F you, I don't even let my dad in. So there's no way that this could happen. And it was unconscious. And then once I pushed away from my mom, okay, I stopped allowing her to provide in that way. And I allowed my dad to come in closer. Now I have a relationship in my life that's been beautiful, amazing. I mean, then I can't explain. Plus, I've used biotypes to be able to know the right woman who doesn't have the trauma that's going to trigger within me. We barely have any problems. We're past the honeymoon phase. And we just know each other, we get each other, it flows, it grows, like it works. And it's because I did that work and she did her work. So family systems therapy is where most of, if not all, the healing is from. Because if you're getting one thing, and I'll end on this, if you're getting one thing in your life, if you want one thing in your life and you're getting something else, that means what you actually believe, I said that wrong. I did like this whole set of, it's like, dropped it. If you want something, what? Yeah. If you want something in your life, you get something else. It's because you actually believe something else, and it's not what you can't learn it. It's something you have to uncover and then use a psychomagical act, which is using your unconscious mind, using symbolism and imagery and whatnot to shift that. So that's like writing a letter. It's almost like witchcraft, but in a that's not the right word for it, but writing a letter, burning it, peeing on it, putting blood on it, pouring honey, doing like weird, interesting things symbolically to heal unconscious wounds.
Mm-hmm. There was so much there. Like, I love that so much because like in these deeper layers of our lineages, and I love that the family dynamics piece of biotypes really dives into that specific area, and it kind of looks at it and says like, okay, like this is exactly where it's coming from and this is why it is the way it is. And then you can start to pick it apart from there and do your healing. So I saw something too around balancing your biotype. Is that like the part where it's like you start to heal by like balancing your biotype after you've learned the things around, first of all, what your biotype is, maybe some family dynamics in there, but then also do you eventually get to a point where you're focused on balancing your biotype?
Yeah. So, and again, biotypes is from RGP development there. I train there. I have a different coaching practice where they're part of it because I encompass all things, but I'm also a coach on their team and coach specifically biotypes. So first off, like in biotypes, you would learn about your biotype, intro to biotype, you learn about your biotype, you learn about other people's biotype, you learn about your personality. Then you have balancing your biotype, which I'm one of the coaches on, which I take people through a 6-week process of looking at your core beliefs, your systemic loyalties, your positive and negative masks, all the different things about you to give you the whole picture, which is like, it's like human design, right? You get your whole picture. And what I'm doing is getting the whole picture without having like imagery. It's like this unconscious picture of who you are. Then from there, it's like, okay, well, where do we go? How do we balance? So a very basic understanding is like, if I'm a biotype that's melancholic, who's an analyzer, okay, and I want to balance, I am a pure biotype. So my personality is analyzer and my biotype is an analyzer. I simply would balance to being a promoter. Melancholic and analyzers are risk averse, overanalyzers, studiers, schedulers, all that stuff. So how I'd balance in theory would be taking risks without all the information and jumping in. And I know in human design, there's things like wait for that emotion. So this is where the fine-tunement comes, right? That's why I overlay them because it's not just this way. But what if I'm a melancholic biotype who is a personality who has an emotional generator, okay? I gotta like, again, just make that decision. I gotta also like tune in again. So there's a fine tunement. But sometimes, okay, sometimes you go against your design. And what I mean by that is make that decision and jump in and experience that. It's not always about like following it fully, but it's also experiencing the pain to get a reference point. So sometimes I'll just jump in without all the information and do it, even though knowing I'm an emotional generator and I know I need to wait, that's fine, just tack that on. But I'm proving to my ego that actually I don't need all the information. I can trust myself. I can jump in. And next time I'll tweak it a little bit better to be the emotional generator part, right? And it all depends too, right? It's all, everyone has their formula, but that's how I would essentially balance my biotype.
Okay, got it. And that makes tons of sense. I can see how that even reflects in what you were telling me earlier with my biotype and personality and all of that, that if even though that sense of control came in when I was a child, if I can actually shift more to what feels natural to me, which is just supporting and being loving and caring for people instead of wanting to control, it'll actually, that's me balancing it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Big, yeah. The big balance for you is letting go of control, letting go of certainty, is allowing people to lead you, is allowing yourself to fully fall into somebody's arms. And like letting go of it all and being emotional in front of people, like really expressing how you truly feel and looking bad and not looking good and maybe looking like a mess and maybe not having it all together, but doing that fully, authentically with, you know, someone that you trust and love, or maybe you don't trust, right? Maybe that'd be the big thing. It's like, I don't know if I trust this person, but you still do it anyways because you trust the universe. Trust the flow.
It's funny. I almost wanted to laugh when you're saying that because like it reminds me of like when I do sister circles, which are like I lead sister circles, and there, that's a vulnerable space, right? It's like usually people are having really deep shares and stuff like that. And I swear to you, when it comes time for me to share, I have no idea what to say. And I would have already thought, like tried to think about it like days in advance and be like, okay, like what are the themes of this moon? What's been on my heart? Blah, blah, blah. And then like finally when it comes around to me, I'm like I just don't know what to say. I'm like, it feels so weird to like talk about emotional aspects of myself. It's like, so I can totally see though that how doing that, I mean, I'm much better than I used to be. Like when I first started, it was like, I wouldn't share. And that's a bad example. But like, but then eventually now I'm to a place where I actually do share and it's, and so it's getting easier. But yeah, I can see what you mean about just balancing that biotype and leaning more into the aspects of the places that feel more natural. Like it's hard, but it's like, if you have the awareness, and I feel like that's what it's all coming back to is just, and that's even with these amazing series that you do and all of this knowledge that you're constantly putting out there. I feel like the awareness and the belief, you kept talking about belief too, like it actually comes back to what you truly believe to be true about yourself. So deconditioning through, you know, family dynamics, through human design, and continuing to put yourself in front of the information, I think is the most important part of all of what we're talking about, because that right there is what brings the awareness into your consciousness. And you're like, oh, okay, like that's a thing. That's real. That's out there. And then you go and you learn more and you, you know, sit down with someone like you and you're like, you go even deeper and you're like, okay, perfect. So I love this so much. I'm super excited for everything that we talked about today. And for people who are listening to this and they're just like excited about biotypes now and they want to learn more, how would you say if they wanted to just start on this journey?
What I would actually say is you can speak to me personally. So you can go on my Instagram, andrew.colombini, or you can sign up for my new series coming up, which is the personalitycodeseries.com. You can sign up there. Yeah, so I would say like jump in, learn about your personality, because biotypes is great, but here's the deal. If you take the intro course, if you even take the biotypes, balancing your biotypes, you'll get somewhere. Kind of a little bit. It's about working with someone who can really read you and feeling the flow too. You know, like there's some people that, you know, like what I have to say, but we just don't vibe. And that's okay. I'm not supposed to vibe with everyone. No one's supposed to vibe with anyone. But the people who do feel that vibe and like the growth is amazing. Like that's why I do one-on-one coaching and different aspects, because I can sit with you and really get down to the nitty gritty. And the point is that you can visualize your design. You know who you are in a sense. Like I know who I am. I know how I'm going to react. I know what these things are going to do to me. And it's like once you know it, then you eliminate a lot of confusion and you have a lot more certainty when you move through your life. And then also here's the other thing. And then I'll finish on this is also knowing what to fix, what to shift. Because here's the problem in most coaching is people are not fixing the actual root. And a good example happened to me with my car is it stopped starting one day. Oh, well, it's not turning on. Must be the battery. So I changed the battery. It's not starting again. I called my grandpa who works on cars. He's like, oh, it's probably, you know, one of the circuits is wrong. Okay, so I changed and messed with every single like circuit, which there's like 40, like taking it out, putting it back in, testing it, taking it out. Like it's super tedious. Not for me. I can't figure it out. I could have sworn it was that. And so I took it into a mechanic shop and it was like the starter. I would have never figured that out. So what I'm saying is stop trying to do it yourself. Ask for help. I guarantee you the people who need the help are the ones who are asking for help or who have a parentalized or triangulation systemically, which if you don't have mentors or you're always like this, the mentor could, you have something better to say than the mentor. Or they give you advice, but you don't fully take it in and it's hard to ask for help. You probably have a family system disorder called parentalized or triangulation, which is getting in the way, which is important to figure that out so you can reshift it and get back on track and live your full, like the whole point of this is live a fulfilled life, fulfill your purpose, figure out who you are, why you're here, live every day with joy and excitement, be clear, and have fun. That's the biggest thing I could say.
Mm-hmm. And yes, thank you so much. Like, I loved every moment of this and I love the work that you do. So how can people work with you? Is it best for them to go on your website or to reach out directly to you through IG?
You know what I'm going to do? Because this is honestly how I've found works best. And this is how nearly all the clients that I work with, because we got to experience each other firsthand. And I feel like it's all about reading energy and seeing where it goes. Because, you know, I'm not attached to where things go, but I just make sure that the connections are there to make the thing that's necessary possible. I'm going to offer a free complimentary, okay, for people who are listening to this right here, right now, a complimentary 30-minute session with me where we'll just have some fun. I'll take a look at your biotype, your personality, answer any questions you have, give you some, you know, some training or some therapy, some way that you can realign. And then you can decide from there, right? Like maybe, for example, we want to work together. We could set up another call and make that happen. Maybe at the end, we're like, you know, I say, actually, here's a better resource. So I don't really know, but either way, towards the end, we'll have a powerful outcome and you'll be leaving that session feeling empowered.
Yes. Thank you so much. And I highly recommend people do this. Andrew's super grounded, super present, easy to talk to. I've done this with him. It's amazing. I highly recommend. We're going to put links to everything in the show notes. So please check that out and click there for everything that you're interested in. And besides that, what are you excited about that's coming up? I know we talked a bit about you have the personality code coming up. When abouts is that going to be taking place?
May 5th is when it launches. The sign, like, doors open to sign up 2 weeks before. So at the end of April, you can actually start signing up for it and seeing the speaker lineup. But, you know, I'm excited to really bring in more wisdom together. I really start connecting the dots, especially doing deeper research on human design and cosmic human design, which is a different star system that they use, and true sidereal, which is the astrology is different. So the constellations are staggered, meaning that like Leo is a lot bigger than Virgo, for example, or vice versa. So like that section is going to reflect that. So it actually would change the gates in human design. I don't know. It's a theory. It's out there. There's a lot of things coming together. I'm excited to connect the dots and just provide a way for people to better understand themselves and live in harmony with their authentic path.
Mm-hmm. So be on the lookout for everything he has going on. I will be, because I'm endlessly interested in all these different systems, aspects, ways of being, new theories that are coming out. I mean, it's an exciting time to be alive and just to be able to have the opportunity to know ourselves at a deeper level in this way. So thank you so much, Andrew, for coming on. And thank you everyone for listening.
Thank you for listening to the She's a God podcast. Tune in next Thursday for a brand new episode. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. I would love to hear from you. Follow me on social media at @ThisIsJenTorres for all of the latest. And remember, she is a God, and so are you.